Hello, hi. Welcome to another episode of Makoti Unveiled. I'm your host, the resident Makoti, Sia Tsewu. If you're not a first-time listener, thanks for joining us again. We love having you. But if you're with us for the first time, wamukelekile sithandwa. Bokoti, are you married into a culture or race that is different from the one you were raised in? So much research has been done on how hard it can be to be in an interracial relationship. In South Africa alone, there are 11 official languages and so many different cultures. Your match could be Tsonga, Swati, Afrikaans or Ndebele. You never know. Being in an interracial or intercultural marriage can be a daunting experience, and that is why in this episode we'll be speaking to two women who know all about it. We are chatting to omakoti who have married into different cultures. On one end, we have Okuhle, who's originally from South Africa, but she's living a soft life abroad with her white husband. She's a black lady married to a white guy. And then on the other hand, at the end, we have Usis Portia. You know, she's a colored lady married to a Zulu man.
The romantics.
Lalela. Lalela. The Romeos. Of the tribe.
The ones that don't ask you if you want to get married, they give you a ring and say, yeah, me. Yeah,
let's go.
At me, Bambala, uzobona ukuthi wenzani now.
But okay. So obviously we're talking about marrying into a different culture. Let's start with Sis Portia. Tell us how long you've been married and how you got yourself a Zulu guy, girl.
It's actually a very funny story. So we've been married, this year is 11 years, but we've been together for about 15 years. How I saw him was basically through one of the events that we had done, and I had invited him. At that point he was still the sports writer for, I can't remember which publication, but he was the sports writer. So he had said he was not going to come. And I was like, hey, I need really, really need, you know, people to come. And obviously most of the journalists came, but then he came, but it came late. Then the following day you follow up, would you be able to cover this and all that stuff? And he was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know how it happened, but eventually it was just like, can we go out some time for dinner? It was a Friday. I was still basically living with my dad, then my late dad. But I went out, and for the first time I didn't sleep at home, because the conversation was really, really good, and we were chilling, we're having, you know, wine. And the time I looked at the watch, it was 2 o'clock. And I'm thinking, there is no way I'm going home. My dad is going to kill me. So from that time, we started seeing each other and all that stuff. And like within 3 months, I think, of seeing him, I fell pregnant. But I didn't know. So yeah, that's how I met my Zulu king.
And I love it. I love it. And Okuhle, how did you meet your Prince Charming, darling?
Personally, I don't think he was that charming at all. So we have been, actually, I think it was on the 26th of this month, we've been married 6 months. We got married on our 10-year dating anniversary. So all in all, we've been together about 10 and a half years. So we met in high school in grade 11. And my earliest memory of Chad actually was that he's one of the naughty kids in school. He was always getting into trouble. He was a good kid, like he was very sporty and stuff, but he was always, you know, a bit of a troublemaker. And So one of my earliest memories of him was him getting called into the principal's office because he snuck into one of our classes because he was bunking his. So in my mind, I was always like, oh, you know, who's this, like, and he was a little chubby back then. So I was like, who's this chubby little, you know, naughty white kid? Anyway, fast forward to grade 11. We were outside the school gate. We both did sports because we were both very sporty people. So he played rugby and I played hockey. And on one afternoon, he played a little bit of a prank on me, but he didn't know that he pulled this prank in front of my dad, who'd come to pick me up from school. So I get into the car and my dad signals to him to come to the car. And he gets there and my dad he's a linguist. So he says something to him in Afrikaans, because I think he thought that Chad was Afrikaans. And Chad just stood there with this look of bewilderment, like, what the hell is going on? But anyway, my dad laughed it off and was like, no, I saw what you did to my daughter. You better keep an eye out on yourself because I'm watching you. But it was a pleasant exchange. And that was that. And a couple of weeks later, again, we found ourselves outside the school gate. And Chad, once again, this time around, he literally grabbed my phone, and we had Mixit back then. So he grabbed my phone, he ran up the road and then came back down and, you know, gave me my phone back. And I thought to myself, what is wrong with this boy? Like, why is he so weird? And he used to have a friend that I was friends with, and they used to like tease me during break because I used to have this color 33 hair color. So they'd always walk around calling me, oh, hey, color 33. And I actually thought it was quite annoying, but anyway. So I get home that evening and I log into Mixit. I mean, I'm happy. I'm updating my little status and I'm chatting to my friends, and up pops up this name that I didn't recognize. It was called Mkhonong. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is this? And it was Chad. He secretly invited himself onto my Mixit and we started talking and we just couldn't stop. And the conversations were so great. They were just like, he was actually literally like my best friend from the word jump. But he was sneaky because he would tell these awesome stories at like in the evening. And then he'd say, oh, no, you know, that's fine. I'll tell you the rest of it tomorrow at school. So that's how we ended up starting, we started hanging out during breaks. And he would tell me these, you know, his stories and we'd laugh. And then, he came over as a friend for like a braai. And then he's been coming over, you know, to my house since. That's basically it.
Wowza, I stand a king with a plan. Jonga, this guy had a...
Oh, he's so sweet though, hey?
It is so beautiful. What was his Mixit name? Mkhonongo, what?
Mkhonongo. It's a slang term for like, you know, like a gangster. Because, you know, Chad thought he was kind of slick because he was that white boy that could, you know, speak Zulu. You know, he's always within the, you know, the cool kids circle. So, yeah.
Now, ladies, you start dating these men. Obviously, sometimes in a relationship, there are disagreements. How do you disagree or fight in English? Because now, okay, you have to fight in English. I was like, hey, booty. And ngapa, sis Portia, ufunuti niwe na ufunukuti. You know, are you conversing in English or Afrikaans at home? And then now you can't converse in this Afrikaans because this man is Zulu, agazukuva. How are you guys navigating having a disagreement in a language that is not your home language?
Well, for me, he would speak in Zulu, and obviously I hear isiZulu. I hear most of the languages except for Venda and Shangaan. They beat me. So when I speak to him, I speak to him in English, and then he answers in Zulu. The funny thing is that my son, who's now 15, he speaks to his dad in English, and the dad also answers him in Zulu, or would ask him something in Zulu. So, yes, those two languages are dominant, but my son is first language Afrikaans at school. Because obviously when we met each other, we didn't get married like immediately. So my thing was that I'm not going to put my son in his surname up until you know, we get married and stuff like that. So, yeah. So we have like those three languages in the house, actually. But mostly I speak to him in English.
Okay, cool. And Okuhle?
I'm not sure because they are pale and English bundles.
Yes, girl. Yes, girl.
No, listen, I'm very comfortable. We both speak English to each other quite often. In fact, predominantly, but there are instances but it happens quite a lot now where I am very comfortable saying things in isiXhosa okanye isiZulu, and he'll respond accordingly in English, and sometimes he'll respond in isiZulu. But it's just one of those interchangeable things, because I did ask him to make, you know, a greater deal of effort to learn, because I know he knows isiZulu, but for him to actually learn isiXhosa so that he can communicate with, like, oh, makulubam and what have you. But when it comes to arguments, sana yo, I'm nai English nditaka ndibekele. Because I'm not close to when you go, I'm like 2 o'clock. Exin, do I need to know, babe? You know, I really, you know, I think, you know, we should do. Hey, did you not? But you know, I just went to Galileo. Okay, I just went to Galileo, and that's all there is to it. I mean, I'm not trying to say
that. Oh my gosh!
I'm not trying.
He's like, hey, buti, hey,
did you not? Hey, buti, yau, kuchiwe. Please, man, please.
Talk to me about the culture shocks. So, Sis Portia, you told me there was a story where you ate inyama that was meant for amadoda. And where now you were like, hey, there's meat, let's eat. Kanti, yeah. This is not meant for women or omakoti. So let's talk to me about the culture shocks, you know? Because in African culture, you must, yo, mama, tata. And okuthi, maybe whether you call your mother-in-law or father-in-law, James and James and Sarah. Hi, Sarah! It's not molo mama or whatever, like you would in African culture. So those kind of culture shocks, talk to us about those, ladies.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, we were at a funeral, and it was after the time. I can't even remember what meat they were having. So they put the meat, like, in those, what do you call them? Those dishes, those big Zulu dishes that's wooden. I don't even know what they call them. So the meat was there. So I'm like, yo, it's a party, you know, we're eating. And then, then this guy just came to me. Mama, aguliwa, abafazi aguliwa, lana. And then I'm like, haibo, kanti, what part of the cow is this? Engadliwa abo mama. Like, mchwayele mina kuti, gadliwa, whatever, you know, in as long as there's food, wherever we are, you can eat, you know. And so he was sitting right there in front of me. Actually, I went to him. And I sat on his lap, and that's when I reached out. Then I'm like, how? When are you ngangjelanga now? I cannot eat this meat. Anyway, no,
sorry, I just need to catch you. Just to interrupt you here. You sat on his lap at a family gathering.
Yes. How?
Yes.
It is mine. So. And then I kind of could feel the uncomfortability in him, that he was just like, yo, this one is going to make me die in front of all these men. And then I was like, okay. And then, so that's when I also learned that when I am in a town where there's Zulu people or men in general, that's when I respect it. Like, even like, I sit now back and I look at what the women do and what the men do, you know. So you find that if a woman wants something, she goes to the guy, Baba, can I have this? Which is something, Mina, I'm not used to.
Do you have to wear or don't touch?
She wants me to be decent. So, yeah, from time to time, I do wear it just out of respect. You know, but yeah, hey.
Too much protocol.
I know the protocol, guys.
Yo.
No.
Like, Okay, like it could never be me. She went and got herself a Chad. Sis, talk to us about when you got into Chad's family.
Listen, you know, for all intents and purposes, hey, there wasn't. I don't think the culture shocks were as intense for me as they were for him when it came to him actually meeting my family and doing things, you know, in a sort of a traditional sense. But things that did actually take me by surprise that I was initially a bit mortified by was, so I come from a loving home, but we weren't physically affectionate. So public displays of affection, especially in the home for me, were a bit of a, I was like, what on earth? You know, just parents kissing each other, you know, hugging and all that stuff. It was a bit strange for me at the beginning, but I've obviously learned to sort of, you know, get with the program. Another thing, I was always taught ekhaya ubaxa uphaka, okanye when you're dishing up, you dish up for your man or you dish up for people or you cook for, you know, everybody in the house. Whereas when I met Chad's family, like anything goes. If there is a family dinner, you literally get up and you go dish for yourself. Nobody expects you to do anything for anybody else, which was, yeah, it's a bit of a weird concept. But you know, you adapt. Like his family is a lot more chilled. Let me put it that way. There isn't a lot of pressure, especially on my part, to do too much. And I think that is a bit of a relief because, you know, as umakoti, you dread the whole, no offense to anybody, you dread the whole, we have cleaning, windows and this and that. Literally, there's no pressure to do that. I think the fact that things were chilled was the culture shock for me. And the fact that men in the household cook was also another, like moments of just like, what the F? Because in my home, Nasemakaya, when I did go visit, you know, the duty to cook always rests on, you know, the women in the family. And now me being an older sister, you know, that's the kind of like, when so you know, piapegwa. And indotanje, it's parties, you know, clochet, enjoy. He bakes. Everything, literally everything. But there's another culture shock which it took me by surprise, and I used to give Chad crap about it all the time. He's laughing at me right now. Hey.
What's happening here?
You know, I was like, what's the deal with that? Like, why aren't you using lotion? Like, aren't you scared of, you know, aging? And don't you want to protect your skin? And I remember Chad said to me, he's like, yo, no, but I'm watch. You can't see if I haven't put lotion. I said, you better stop that thought in its tracks. He says, no, I don't get pashila. I said, Chad, I will kill you because you will age like a banana, my darling. I need you to actually start putting lotion on. So, So I got him onto lotions way back then, and he uses them now. But sometimes I do catch him slipping because he can be a little bit of a lazy one. That's about it. I think that's all I can think of at the moment. But I mean, on my end, it is pretty chilled. Like I said, him having to adjust to eating, like, you know, insides in Togo and all those things, going to emakaya, you know, those are things that he I think might have been a bit shocked by. But yeah.
Yeah, Shem. Now Chad is finding himself eating his cup of and he's
exactly.
So we're in Brunei. One of the first meals he asked me to cook once we settled into our home. That's literally one of his favorite meals. His chicken
now
curry. I promise you, he's very, very open-minded, and he immerses himself into the culture, and he loves everything there is about my culture, and I must go away too. In fact, you know, even before we got married, he made it very clear to me that he will
follow Amasiko wethu kuqala before he attempts anything ngesilungu. Even though COVID might have ruined the timelines of his into, but he definitely took the traditional approach kuqala, you know, patalila, you know, discussing things with my father and getting permission to do certain things while keeping in mind the fact that, you know, our traditions and customs are very important. And I really do appreciate that about him, Shame.
Oh, that's so sweet. That is so sweet. Now we just need to get him to stick with the lotion, otherwise he'll age like a banana. As
he says. Please, Nez Tende, please, I beg. I think that's another thing we recently argued about. He didn't know that I was slipping glycerin into his body lotion because, you know, like it can be quiet. So I told him, I was like, no, I just added a little bit of glycerin. He's like, why would you do that, babe? I'm like, no, I care about you.
And you're not going to see his pashile.
Exactly. I boo.
And Okuhle, what do you call your parents-in-law? How do you call them?
I call them Trish and Rob. We've got like nicknames, like, you know, the Bali is, that's what we call Rob and Trish. What do I call? I call it patty cakes. But it's just, you know, little nicknames like that. But I call her mom and dad. It just, and unfortunately, those words don't come too easily off my tongue because dinayo mama no tata. So, yeah.
You're actually right there. So I used to call my mom by her name, right? My late mom. Mm. Now, having to be forced to call Stimbiso's mom, didn't make sense to me. I was just like, ah. So I battled. So, but I'll just go, yes, ma. And my grand was like, ah, just make peace with it. You know, I'm like, but it's not like that. But also, she also expected me to kind of be like, you know, because she had boys alone. And when I came, got married there, she was expecting me to be like, have that relationship of mom and daughter. And I was just like, no, ma, it's not gonna work. It's been too many years since I haven't had this, so it's gonna be very difficult for me, you know. And I mean, even till today, I don't have that relationship with her. But I don't know if I even want to, because, you know, it's something that you're not used to. I'm not used to it.
And what would you have preferred to call her?
Maybe her name,
like on some hello Zandi
by her name. Yeah, hello Monica, how are you? But now you have to remember always, oh Shabbat, hello ma, onjani. Yeah, and then you're like kind of like, I wonder what my mom would have said if this was the thing, you know.
Yo, ladies, I appreciate your time and your different perspectives are so amazing, because you guys have had different experiences. And so how you relate to marrying into a different culture is different from the other. And I really appreciate your time and you coming to share with us.
And that's it for today's episode. I know you enjoyed it just like I did. So please let us know your thoughts on our social media channels. At Drum Magazine. A special thanks to our guests Okuhle Temla and Portia Hlongwane for joining us, and to you for listening. From me, Sia Tewu, your resident Makoti, until next time, bye bye, Standwa.